Amen. Please take your Bibles this evening and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Continuing on in our series of living by faith. This evening we're going to look at the death of Joseph and the faith he had in his death. We have one verse of Scripture this evening, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11 and verse 21. You know, I had that wrong. I'm sorry. Verse 22. Verse 22. All right? Just one verse down from there. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach you laid in my heart this evening. May your Holy Spirit continue to have free reign in our services. When we leave here this evening, may we be able to say it's been good to be in your house. May you receive honor and glory from every aspect of our church. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. By faith, Joseph, when he was a dying, blessed. I'm sorry. By faith, Joseph. I'm going to get this right eventually, y'all. When he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones, living by faith, the death of Joseph. The death of Joseph. The last time we were in this study, we examined the faith that Jacob had, as well as Joseph, concerning Ephraim and Manasseh, that's Joseph's sons, at the end of Israel's life. We covered a little bit of Joseph's life, not a lot. Yeah, if you want to know more about it, then feel free to go back and read there through Genesis, toward the end of Genesis, more about the content of Joseph's life. But, however, now we will discuss the end of Joseph's life and the faith he had with the children of Israel and his remains of his body. Please turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. By the way, while you're turning there to Genesis chapter 50, I received a very nice gift today. I'm not going to say who it's from because that might embarrass the person. But it's a book I've been wanting for a very long time. It's a complete study of all the Hebrew words in the Old Testament, a great asset to my library and studying. It was very, very, very nice. And so I thank the person who gave it to me, and you might get a little more out of it as a result. How about that? Okay, but not in this one because I didn't have it until this sermon. All right, Hebrews chapter 50, verse 22 to 26, and we begin reading verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. First point this evening is the facts of Joseph's death. The facts of Joseph's death. Now, let me just tell y'all, get your Bibles ready. You're going to be turning to a lot of Scriptures this evening, all right? Get those swords out, young people, all right? You don't bring your Bible to church for nothing, all right? Get that sword ready to use as a weapon. What do you think the first point of his, the facts of Joseph's death is? Well, number one, he died. Okay? Some people laugh about that. They say, well, duh. But a lot of people don't like to acknowledge death. Okay? Joseph died. Why did he die? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. If you kept your place there in Hebrews in chapter 11, just go a little bit back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay? Now turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Romans 6 and 13. I have lost my mind. That is not it. Well, yeah, I mean, that's Romans 6, 13. I'm just proving that I'm human, y'all. Oh, I got a nap. How about Romans 6, 23? That one is so close to the two in the computer when I typed it. Yeah, Romans 6, 23. That verse makes more sense to my sermon now. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what do these scriptures mean? That means everybody has to die. Everybody. Everybody has to die. And Joseph was no exception. He had to die. Jesus was no exception. He died too. But the difference between Jesus and everybody else in history is that Jesus himself rose himself up from the dead. Now, there are two men in history that didn't have to die. Who were they? Enoch and Elijah. Those two men. And we've already covered Enoch in this series, all right? And Elijah didn't have to either. Now, who came after Elijah? Elisha. That way we don't get, you know, those two confused there, all right? Now, back to Joseph. Number one, he died. Number two, he was blessed to live 110 years before he died. 110 years. Now, some might say, that's a long time. It is a long time. For our day and age, back then, he didn't live very long. He didn't. But here's what happened. After Noah, man's lifespan began to get shortened. And shorter and shorter and shorter. And actually, into the last few years, actually within this century, I might add, that if it wasn't for modern-day medicine and technology and everything that we have, we would have an even shorter lifespan, in all seriousness, because of, you know, everything that happens in the environment and what we eat and so on and so forth. But he was blessed to live 110 years. And in those 110 years, number one, he was able to see his great-grandchildren from his son Manasseh. Oh, what a blessing. But on top of that, number two, he was able to see his great-great-grandchildren from Ephraim. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope to one day to be able to see my grandchildren. Those of you grandparents know what a blessing that is. But you know what? I love to see those who are really up in their age, and they've got great-great-grandchildren as well. You think, how would you even be able to enjoy that? They love it. They get to brag. This is my great-great-grandson or my great-great-granddaughter, you know? Oh, Joseph, before he died, he got to see his great-great-grandchildren. Oh, what a blessing. Well, thirdly, of the facts of Joseph's life, not only did he die, he was blessed to live 110 years before he died, but then he made preparations before he died. Now, herein comes the law of the faith that he had. Number one, many people avoid this step, that is preparing to die. But he followed the precedent passed down from his ancestors, as well as the Egyptian culture that was well known for their death preparations. And, you know, who in the world hasn't, that is in the modern world, I guess to say, doesn't know about all the death preparations of the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, that is? Oh, yeah. But even at that, because that's where they lived, it was in Egypt now, because remember that famine that had come, and now Israel had brought all of his family here, and they lived with Joseph, and they began to multiply, and so on and so forth. And Joseph was here, he was second in command to Pharaoh. And but he was also following the pattern that his daddy, and so on and so forth, they set forth to get those preparations ready before you die. Well, number two, he actually helped make the arrangements for his death. He also gave his last, as we call, will and testament concerning his affairs. And then lastly, he gave a prophecy of the children of Israel returning to the promised land. Now here is where we see him living by faith at his death. He gave a prophecy that God would visit them, come to them, and get them out of the land of Egypt and take them back to the promised land. At this point in time, the famine was still going on, and they weren't slaves yet. No, they weren't slaves yet. That comes after the death of Joseph, as we'll discover in our next time in the series. He had so much faith that this would happen. He said, God's going to come and take this nation back to where God promised to give us, the promised land, the Canaan land, Israel. That's where that is. And as a result, he was embalmed or mummified, as we say, like one of the Egyptians, for his burial in the promised land whenever they would go. He's like, you prepare me this way so that whenever God comes and gets you out of Egypt and takes you back to the promised land, you take my bones with you and you bury them there. Now some say, well, why didn't they do that? Go ahead and do that like they did for Jacob. Well, for most of Joseph's life, really, he lived in Egypt. That was his home. But he wanted that to be a symbol of the promise of faith. The promise of faith that God gave them. And of course, he didn't see it happen. He died. But he had so much faith that it was going to happen that he made him promise to do this. And of course, the Exodus happened. Exodus 13:19. Please turn there. Exodus 13:19. After the many years of slavery in Egypt, and after all the plagues that happened, Pharaoh finally lets the children of Israel go. And when they're getting ready to go out of Egypt and head toward the promised land, they take one special thing with them, and it was the bones of Joseph. Exodus 13:19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Y'all, Joseph never saw that happen. But by faith, he knew it would happen. He knew it. He knew that God would bring him out of that place, take him back, and that they would bury his body there. Of course, it really didn't matter. Joseph, he wasn't here anymore, right? I get a little tickled at people sometimes at funerals. You know, some families try really hard to do exactly as their departed loved one wanted. But we've already told you the one story about the man who wanted, when he died, to be buried with all of his bank account. Remember that? And what happened? His wife wrote him a check and stuck it in the casket. You know? After the funeral in Kentucky this past week, Sister Lane was telling Sister Tiffany about this really pretty place that they were going to go bury her mother, whereas her daddy was already buried there. But she says, Mama did not want to be buried there. She was very adamant. She didn't want to be buried there at all. But it was so beautiful. Daddy's buried there. The tombstone's already there with her name on it. So we said, you know what? This is one thing we're going to do that Mama didn't want to do. All right? And I said, well, if she don't like it, tell her to come back and fix it, you know? Joseph, he didn't care, but by faith he knew it was going to happen. And it did. They carried Joseph's coffin with his mummified body in it, his bones, from Egypt all throughout the journeys, okay? And y'all know how long that took, right? Took them a long time to even get to the part where they sent the spies in, and then for 40 years they wandered because of their sin, all right? So let's say after 41, maybe 42 years from the Exodus to that point, they finally brought Joseph's body in the promised land and buried him. By faith, here in his death. My last point this evening is the applications of Joseph's death. The applications of Joseph's death. Number one, we are all going to die one day. Now, I know y'all may not think about that, but I'm just telling you the truth. The Bible plainly teaches it. And if you don't believe the Bible, look at reality. We are all going to die one day. There's only one way you're not going to die. That's if you're saved and Christ comes back and get raptured out. That's the only way you're going to avoid it. Well, guess what? We don't know when Christ is going to come back. So you better make preparations now. Why do we all have to die? Well, number one, we have to die because of sin. Just like Joseph died. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, and we'll see how sin entered in the world. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest eatest freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave Adam life. He formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathing him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God said, here's the garden. You keep it up. You know, you work. Make sure that's all right. You can have every tree in here except one. Just one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you'll die. That was the only rule. How about that? You break this one rule, you die. Sounds pretty simple, right? Well, it's pretty simple. Except Adam messed it up. He ate of the fruit. Did he die immediately? No. But he did die. It was a slow process. And of course, it also separated him spiritually from God. So here we see the beginning of sin. But let's look at the end of sin. Romans 5:12. Turn there, please. Romans 5:12. We've already seen that we all have to die. And the reason we have to die is because of sin. We've already discovered in talking about the facts of Joseph's death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But now we see of how to surpass the spiritual death part. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? Everybody sins. Everybody. The only person who didn't sin was Jesus. And the only reason he died was so that you and I could have eternal life to escape the spiritual death that's called hell. But death passes on all men. Number two, we are not promised long to live. We're not. Now, some people live like they're going to live forever. Well, as we've already discovered from our Bibles this evening, you're going to die one day, and so am I. Some people said, I'm not going to die. Yeah, let's just say you grow 2 cubits while you're at it, on your own. That's what the Bible says. Are you able to grow just like that? No, of course not. Are you able to escape death? No, you're not. But we're not promised tomorrow. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. That's right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Listen to this. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know what that means? We could all die in the next minute. Every one of us. Preachers have been saying for years we're one heartbeat away from eternity. That's how close death is. I'm not trying to make you feel sad this evening. If you feel sad, that's the Holy Spirit, I guess. I'm just telling the truth. I don't want to water it down. I want it just to be plain and simple. Everybody has to die. And on top of that, we may not live to see tomorrow. Turn to Job chapter 14 and verse 1. Job 14 and 1. That's back over in the Old Testament. Now, Job, really and truly, he was a good man. Well, what we'd call a good man anyway. He was obedient to the Lord and he still suffered. We've already talked about this, how he lost his all of his children and his house and all of his wealth and all of his land. Then he lost his health. Of course, that was a test in his faith to God. But in the middle of all this trial, this tribulation he was in, he said this, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job nailed it. We have few days here on this earth. And in those few days, trouble is going to be around us. So what do we need to do with that? Here's what we need to do. Lastly, we need to make preparations before we die. Plain simple, y'all. We need to make preparations before we die. Number one, physically. Since the time of Adam, everyone knew that death came for everyone. We see where pharaohs built their tombs long before they died. I mean, we're talking 30 to 50 years before they died, and they made preparations for their death. Now, they were heathens, they were barbarians, they were ungodly, but they knew death was going to come, and they had to prepare for it, physically speaking. We see where the Israelites, the Jews, bought plots to bury their loved ones. Why? Because you're going to die one day, and you got to have somewhere you want to be buried, don't you? You see, many have tried to find eternal physical life, but all have failed. Those are those people that said, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. And they try everything that man can do to try to fight death. But guess what? Nobody has succeeded. And I got news for you. Nobody ever will. The only way you're going to be able to do that is do what Jesus did. Because Jesus did die. But guess what? He came back to life. You say, well, what about those people that came back to life as well? They didn't do it on their own. God did it. God did it. While we're on that subject, I'm going to taste just a little bit of rabbit here, okay? We'll kill it here in a minute. It'll be all right. Don't remember the exact passage, but did you know a dead man brought a dead man back to life in the Bible? There's a story. You know it, don't you? Yeah. There's a story of this man that had, I can't remember his name, but he died. And they brought him in and put him beside the bones of Elisha. You know that guy that came after Elijah? And Elisha's bones accidentally, well, I don't know if it's accidental or not, touched the body of that man that just died, and he came back to life just like that. Not Elijah, but the other dead man. How about that? But it wasn't Elisha that did it. He was dead. It was God that did it. All right? So, if we can't escape physical death, can we escape spiritual death? Absolutely. But hang on just a minute on that thought. Since death comes to everyone, everyone needs to be prepared for it. Whether you're young or old, you need to be prepared for it. Now, for those of us who are older in life, write down the things you want to be done at your funeral, please. I've got a copy right here in my Bible. My wife knows exactly where it is. It's got everything that I want. Even tells the pallbearers and the preachers and the songs. You know, I gave all the stuff that they need for the obituary and so on and so forth. The only thing I hadn't done is pay for it, and I hope to not pay for it for a long time, all right? Okay? But why you say, Brother Daniel, I feel so weird right now. I'm not kind of, let me tell you something. I've been here, folks, and it's a lot easier on your family if they know where all that stuff is. Because I've been there when someone dies away suddenly. They didn't tell their loved ones what they wanted. And they may have told them bits and pieces, but they never wrote it down. And in that moment of grief and tragedy, you can't think straight. And you're scratching your head. I can't remember what he or she wanted. Well, if you'd written them down, typed them out, printed off, said, it's here at this place. I know some people that said, when I die, here's everything here in this desk, or here's everything in this folder. Go see the lawyer. Go to the bank. It's right there. I mean, they know where it's at, and everything is lined out. You say, why would I want to do that? Because of your loved ones. That's why you do it. Okay? That's why you do that. Now, for you older ones here this evening, I'm not anticipating you die anytime soon. But I hope that you've done that for your family. For those who are my age or older, I hope you've done the same thing. There's men my age that have died of heart attacks. Okay? So please, please be considerate of your loved ones. Now to the most important part, your spiritual preparations for death. If we all have to die physically, that's the price. We've already discovered that in the book of Romans. But there's a way out of the spiritual death. Okay? You see, Christ has salvation. That word salvation means deliverance from the second death. How? He's made it possible with His blood. When Adam sinned, the first man sinned, and brought death to us all, God made the first sacrifice there with Adam. He killed those animals, gave Adam the skins for clothes. But He also taught Adam, this blood here is having to be shed because of you. But it also pointed to Christ in the beginning. No matter how many times you shed this blood, it's not good enough. But there come a time where there'll be one that there is. You say, well, how did Adam really know that? I think he did. And the Bible teaches that. When we get to Abraham, Abraham already looked for that blessed hope of that city whose builder and maker is God. Well, how did he get there? Through Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was to come then. You see, they were saved in the Old Testament just like we are in the New Testament era. You know why? Well, the difference was they looked toward the cross, we looked back at the cross. This salvation gives the blood-bought individual eternal life. We don't have to worry. If we are saved, we don't have to worry about death just one time. Just one. Because once we die, we've got the blood of Jesus over us, washed in the blood. And we get to live forever in eternity. But if we die lost, which the majority of the world does, sad to say, they have to die a second time. That spiritual death. The lake of fire. We need, as saved people, to live in the blessed hope that we have for eternal life. Last scripture this evening, turn to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible declares to us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've made preparations spiritually here this evening, what do you have to look forward to? That blessed hope. Going to heaven. And yet something else to look forward to while you had it. The appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but don't raise your hands, please. But have any of you ever thought you heard a trumpet sound and thought the Lord was coming back that day? I have a few times in my life. It's been, I could probably count in one hand how many times I thought that. And you say, you crazy. Well, as an old preacher used to say, I may be nuts, but at least I'm screwed on the right bolt. All right? Let me tell you, there's been, I know at least two times where I guess my ears are playing tricks on me, where I thought I heard a great loud trumpet sound. I was like, oh, it's time! And I'm going, that might not have been it then. All right? I got excited. Yeah. But then I got a little sad. When I realized how, I guess, gullible I am, then I also got sad and thinking, you know what? Just how many souls have been left behind if I left at that point in time? And, you know, our goal in making preparations, not only physically and spiritually, is to make sure everybody else is the same thing. But most of all, with the spiritual part. You know what the number one thing people don't buy before they die? Is life insurance. You know what life insurance does? It covers payments on stuff after you die. You know how people don't get that? Well, I can't afford it, and I don't need it. Yeah, but your loved one sure would have needed after you died. Another thing they don't get is burial plots. So, well, I want to be cremated. That's a different subject, by the way. But the whole point is that they don't make preparations for it. But you know, the worst thing that people don't think about is death in general. Try not to ask somebody, "Are you saved?" Number one, if they even know what that is, they'll say, yeah, of course I'm saved. Some people say, saved from what? So you go to church somewhere? Somebody's always going to give an answer to that question. But you know where to get somebody the clear answer? Where are you going to go when you die? Most people say heaven. Why are you going to go to heaven? Aha. Now we're getting somewhere. And when you begin to present the gospel to them, they get all squirmy. Because number one, they're having to think about death. They don't want to think about that. Well, guess what? The reality. Joseph knew it. Before him knew it. And they made preparations for it, both physically and spiritually. Y'all, if we hadn't made preparations spiritually, we're doomed. I mean eternally doomed. But if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ here this evening, you win victoriously when you die. But if you're here and you're lost this evening, you leave here, you don't know what's going to happen to you on the way home. You have no idea. Do you think that Brother Gary and Sister Lane, in that simple outpatient procedure for their mother, thought she was going to die that day? Absolutely not. She didn't either. Let me tell you, that doctor feels so bad. That has never happened to him before. Well, you know what? It's just one of those things that happened. You know, and that's why some people say, I'll have to go and outpatient procedures because I might die. Well, you could walk out here and die just like that. You don't know. But what you need to be prepared for is going to heaven. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. Thomas asked Jesus a good question. How do we know the way, Lord? Maybe it was Peter. I can't remember right now. But in Jesus declaring about the mansions in heaven, him going to prepare a place for him, Jesus said, John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the one and only way, y'all. That's it. He is the one and the only way. And the only way you're going to receive eternal life, the only way to go to heaven is through him. You can't go around it. You can't go over him or under him. You have to go through him. That's it. Don't buy into the lie. The world says there's many ways to heaven. No. Just one. Through Jesus and the blood that he shed for you. So if you're here and you're lost this evening, you have an opportunity to be saved this evening. So that at the time that you die, you'll wake up in heaven. One more story and then I'm done. Just a few months ago at Bog Springs Church Camp, where many of us have gone, some of us have gotten saved, it's where I surrendered to preach. At Louisiana Church Camp, and I've told this story before, for the first time in the history of Bog Springs, a man had a heart attack and died at camp. And he wasn't an old man either. He was in his late 30s or early 40s, I can't remember exactly. I mean, he came in, and those who know Brother Barry Carter, went to his church. They were getting ready for services that evening in the tabernacle. He said, Brother Barry, I don't feel too good. I'm going to lay down for a few minutes. Wake me up for it's time to go. Brother Barry said, I went to brush my teeth. I came back, and he said he was already gone. They couldn't bring him back. But, you know, that man's son got saved the night before that. Just one night before that happened. You say, what does all that mean? Well, that boy, his son that got saved the night before, even though the very next night he lost his daddy, but he had that blessed hope that he'd see his daddy one day again. But it wasn't because his daddy was saved. It was because his daddy was saved and he was saved. He didn't get saved because of his daddy. He got saved because of Jesus Christ, like everybody else does. So don't wait to put off salvation too long. As we read from James and from Job, we're not promised tomorrow. Now, today is a day of salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, that we have the gift of eternal life through you. And we pray, Lord, that for those of us who are saved this evening would not take that gift for granted. We praise you and bless your holy name. Lift you high because of your victory for us. But for those that are here this evening that are lost and they need to be saved, Lord, let them know that death is coming, that hell is waiting for them, and that's their only hope, except as a way out of that second death, and that's through you. May your Holy Spirit convict their hearts greatly, that they would turn to you, trust in you, Lord, be saved, and have the peace at knowing that when they die, the physical death, that spiritually they'll live forever in your presence in heaven. Bless our time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? What shall we sing, Brother Paul?